I want to tell you a bit about the story of this picture and why, for me, it's so significant. I said it was the picture of the divine mercy. This picture appeared as a vision to a young Polish nun, a Polish religious sister, on the 22nd of February 1931, in a little Polish town called Płock. And Jesus just came to her looking like this, with his hand raised, actually probably more looking like that one, and I'll explain the difference in a minute. But the one on the screen up there, Jesus came appearing like this with his hand raised and his hand pointing to his heart and the light coming out. And he said, Sister Faustina, because that's her name, Sister Faustina was her name. He said, Sister Faustina, I want you to have this image of me painted so that people can know how great my mercy is for the world. And she, for the next 3 or 4 years, she struggled with the idea of how can I get this painted? Now, during the period that she saw the vision, between the period she saw the vision and had the picture painted, she was moved to Vilnius in Poland. Sorry, it was then in Poland. It's now in Lithuania. It's now the capital of Lithuania. Stay with me, it gets a bit complicated. But at that time, it was called Vilno, and it was in Poland. And so she moved to another house in Lithuania, in Poland then, and she had the picture painted by an artist called Eugeniusz Kazimierowski, and he painted this picture that's on the screen. Now, you'll see this is a little bit different to the one that's down here. Don't let that worry you. They're both the same idea. So this picture was painted by Kazimierowski in 1934. And when he showed it to Sister Faustina, Sister Faustina wept. She cried. And the artist said, you know, what are you crying for? He said, it's not beautiful enough. It doesn't capture who he really is. And she wept over the fact that the artist couldn't capture the magnificence and the beauty of the risen Jesus as he'd shown himself to her. But then Jesus said something to her. He said, don't worry about the colors. Don't worry about the representation. The marvel of this picture is in my mercy and my grace. That's the key thing about this picture, is the mercy and the grace that it depicts. And this picture has been reproduced millions of times. And the connection between this picture, as I said, this picture was painted in 1934. This picture down here, the one we've got a copy of, actually this one was painted around about 8 years ago, something like that, by a Polish friend of this community. But it's a copy of the one that hangs in Krakow. And this one was painted by a man called Adolf Hiwa. Not Hitler, Hiwa. Hear me, please. But actually, there's an interesting link between the two. The reason Adolf Hiwa painted this version just after the Second World War in Poland, is in thanks to God for bringing him and his family and his nation through the times of Hitler. And that's the one that hangs in the chapel in Krakow today. You can go and visit there. So, interestingly enough, the only picture that Sister Faustina herself actually saw is that one up there. She only ever saw that picture because this picture was painted. This one down here, the one in Krakow, was painted after she died in 1938. She died of consumption in 1938 after long illness and after writing a lot of her experiences with Jesus down. And she wrote some amazing stuff in that diary about her experience of the mercy of Jesus. And particularly, if you know that we recently sang, Drew led us in that song I'd written last week as well, where it has a line in it about God finding us in the abyss of his unending mercy. Remember singing that? That's a line from Sister Faustina. She talks about the abyss of God's mercy. That means the fathomless, the bottomless ocean of God's mercy. However deep the pit is that you're in, however deep the struggle, however deep the sin, God's mercy is deeper. That's what she saw. It was an incredible thing she saw. She died in 1938, a year, less than a year before that terrible tsunami of violence and hatred that swept over Europe in the times of Hitler and Nazism, and that terrible madness that took hold, and then followed up, particularly in Eastern Europe, by the equally horrific madness of Sovietism and Stalinism. And all the time, that picture stayed in Vilnius. So it wasn't destroyed during the time of Hitler's being in Eastern Europe, and it was still hanging in a church in Vilnius in 1951. And by this time, Lithuania had become a Soviet state. It was a satellite of Moscow. It was a Soviet part of the Soviet Union. And two Lithuanian ladies knew where this painting was, and they bribed a Soviet guard to let them take it away. They bought the picture. I don't know how much they paid for it, but they bought the picture and they kept it safe. I think actually they gave it to another church to keep safe. And it survived all that horrific period, that horrific nightmare through Europe. And at the end of that period, in 2003, the picture was restored, because that picture at the top, it had become very broken up, faded, bits had fallen off it. But a picture restorer in Lithuania restored it. And today, I actually had the privilege, end of last year in October, of seeing this picture hanging in the chapel in Vilnius, where it now is. And you know where it is? It's in a chapel that's open 24/7 for prayer. People are in there 24/7 praying, asking Jesus for more of his mercy for Europe, for the world, because it's a world prayer, it's a world desire. And I was so touched, and I'm continually touched by it, by this message of Jesus, that his mercy is endless, that he appeared as he did, because I believe he appears to all sorts of people, but that he wanted us to know, even sitting here in Edinburgh in 2016, not part of the Catholic Church, but loving our Catholic brothers and sisters nonetheless, that he wanted to speak to us and say, I love you, and to experience this life and this cleansing that comes from his heart. And today at 3 o'clock, which is the hour that many Catholic folks remember, the time that Jesus died on the cross, and they will say a particular prayer that's connected with the Divine Mercy image. And it says, Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sin and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And they say that around 50 times. But it's a constant, ongoing prayer for the mercy of Jesus to be experienced. And I'm so glad that Pope John Paul II put that in place. Because I get excited about that, don't you? That Jesus loves us. As we were worshipping this morning, it's funny what God brings back to you, isn't it? The guys were putting this banner, this long avenue of banners, this river of banners. It's a bit broken up at the moment, but you can still see it there. And I saw the banners there, and you know, a chorus came back to me that I haven't thought of probably since I was in junior school. Shows you what's still in my on my hard disk, doesn't it? There was a hymn about the vision of Jacob. It says, when Jacob with travel was weary one day, at night on a stone for a pillow he lay, and he saw in a vision a ladder so high that its top, his foot was on earth and its top in the sky. And then the chorus that came back to me this morning was, Alleluia to Jesus, who died on the tree and has raised up a ladder of mercy for me. Alleluia to Jesus, who died on the tree and has raised up a ladder of mercy for me. And the simple message of the windows, actually, as well, the simple message of the Divine Mercy image is that God's mercy is for us all. And there's one last thing I want to say, and you're sitting there thinking he's going to say something about Hesed. He can't talk about mercy. And if you know me, you're sitting there thinking, he can't not talk about Hesed and mercy, because he told us that mercy means Hesed and Hesed means mercy. And it's true. And there's something so exciting. And you know, I get so excited about footnote 52 of John Paul II's encyclical called Rich in Mercy. Why? Because he says Hesed is mercy in that. So I'm actually, yes, I'm on the right track. I'm not just mad. But he says, he links the two. And Hesed, for those of you who are sitting there thinking, what's he talking about? Hesed is the Hebrew word for God's absolute, non-negotiable, irrevocable, self-sacrificing commitment to keep the covenant promise he has made to his people. That's a long description. That's why I say Hesed. It's much quicker than saying it's God's self-sacrificing. Hesed is what God has, and that is what we are experiencing. And you know something? The problem we have with our word mercy, how am I doing time-wise? Oh, you're right. The problem I have with our word mercy in English is that it too often makes us think of a whim. You know, like Caesar in the Forum, in the Colosseum, when the gladiators were fighting. And one gladiator would have his foot on the neck of the other and he'd have his sword here or he'd have his spear here ready to kill the other one. And he'd look up to Caesar and Caesar would either do that, meaning let him live, or that, meaning stick it in him. And that was supposed to be mercy. If Caesar did that, it was mercy. But that's not the mercy of God. It's not dependent. It's God's will, not God's whim. And I say that again. The mercy of God that is shown in Jesus is God's will, not God's whim. So when you come to him, when we come to him, as we're going to in a few moments in prayer, we're going to seek him for a little while. When we come to him, we are not battling on the door of a God who is not listening to us and sitting the other side and saying, well, if you were better, if you were gooder, if you did some more praying, then I would listen to you. No! We're actually coming to a God who's given us the handle on our side. And he stands at the door and knocks. And if we open to him, he will come in. It's all about what we do. His heart is open. That's why this picture has his heart revealed. Life, cleansing, it's all there in Jesus. And hey, I mentioned last week, I'm probably going to mention it a few times though next year. You know, next year I'm going to be 50 years with Jesus. My only regret about that is it's 10 years less than I've lived. He's been faithful all the time and before. But this life with Jesus, this walking with him, when you know him, you know, when you come up that mountain with your arms wide open, it's just matchless. There's nothing like it. So this invitation today to mercy is available for everybody. It was available for Thomas, who said, I'm not believing. And then Jesus came and said, here you are, Thomas. And then he falls down and he says, my Lord and my God. And it's very interesting, Jesus didn't correct him when he said that. Jesus didn't say, no, I'm not God. Get up, Thomas. I'm not God. Can't worship me. No. Jesus allowed him and received his worship. You find Jesus being worshipped a number of times after he rose from the dead and before. My Lord and my God. And what Thomas receives is a blessing, but Jesus says, more blessed. Do you know something? You and I are more blessed this morning than the Thomas who saw Jesus on that day. Jesus said so. He said, even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Because we're looking forward to seeing him. That anticipation of looking into the face. And I know why Sister Faustina would have cried. Because you can't capture the beauty of his face in an image like this. He won't let us. All this is like an icon. It's just like a window to look through towards the glory, but we can't capture him. But he's inviting us into that mercy. And I'm so glad today that we have that privilege of coming to him. We can depend on his promise, which he cannot be untrue to us.